Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast, and today I am welcoming Adam Serpa from Dublin High School in the Modesto, California area. He is going to be talking with us a little bit about creating a middle school feeder program for your high school program, and so there's all sorts of principles that we're going to come away with that will help us put that plan into action. We're really going to be spending a lot of time on the what needs to be done part of that whole transaction. And Adam's going to actually create a forthcoming epic blog post for us that will explain all the how behind what we talked about today. So how to implement those things. So make sure you're part of the Choir Nation Facebook group, and we'll get that out to you. Or if you're part of my email list, we'll get that to you that way as well. At choir.ninja. All right, a couple things before we jump in. We have a couple sponsors today. The first one is mymusicfolders.com. Mymusicfolders.com is one-stop shopping for all things choir folders, band folders, orchestra folders, music folders, director's folders, things that are made of leather-looking vinyl, and also real genuine Napa leather from, you know, your Buick from 1987. They have all sorts of beautiful folders that you can choose from, and you can get things embossed on them in gold, and you can really get into the weeds with them on cool customizations for your folders. So if you go to mymusicfolders.com, you can check out with the promo code Ninja, and you'll get the last column pricing or the highest bulk discount, no matter what quantity you order. If you use mymusicfolders.com, but you don't use it online, you just call them, you can just tell them the promo code Ninja. Say, I heard about it on the Choir Ninja podcast, and they will extend that offer to you as well. So thank you, John and Robin, over at mymusicfolders.com. Secondly, we have sightreadingfactory.com. It is a no-brainer. Sightreadingfactory.com is the place to go for customized sight singing examples or sight reading examples. If you're actually a crossover teacher and you teach multiple disciplines, they have sight reading examples for instruments, sight singing examples for choirs, for soloists, all different kinds of choirs, different key signatures. I mean, it is, you just tell it what you want and an algorithm spits out a sight singing example based on the specifications that you choose. It is a no-brainer, people. If you are a choir director, you should be using it. It's cheap, it's amazing, and you should use it every day, and your students will read so well. You will get 10 free student accounts for using the promo code Ninja with your teacher account. So you get the teacher account, use the promo code Ninja, you unlock 10 free student accounts. I would recommend that you buy accounts for all of your students. They're very inexpensive. I think the full discount is like $2 per student per year, which is amazing. And they can practice at home. You can assign them examples, and you can also grade recorded examples, because it will switch on their microphone at home when they're recording, when they're practicing, and will record examples for you. So, It's pretty amazing. Use it. It's a no-brainer. So use the promo code Ninja when you check out at sightreadingfactory.com. Adam, thank you so much for joining me today on the Choir Ninja podcast.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
So Adam, you are a Choir Nation member first and foremost. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
When did you hop on board the Choir Ninja hood?
I want to say a year or two ago. I don't remember exactly, but at least somewhere between a year and two.
Oh my gosh. So you've been there almost from the beginning. I mean, you were in the Find Your Forte zone before you were in Choir Ninja zone. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Find Your Forte.
Well, that's amazing. Do you remember your first episode? Do you remember the first one you listened to? Or the most impactful so far?
They all kind of run together.
Yeah, for me too.
So many good people on. It's like, no. I mean, I wasn't there from the beginning. I think you were already on episode like 50 or something, and then I had to go backwards through it all. But I mean, since then, you're way past that. So.
Yeah, I think we're like around 200 total episodes right now. The numbering you're going to be 151, but the numbering, I didn't count any Technique Tuesdays from Find Your Forte into the numbering. So I have like 50 Technique Tuesdays. So I think we're actually at 101 episodes right now or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not really counting because I don't really care that much. But anyway, Adam, you are here to share with us some things we need to think about if we're going to start a middle school feeder program in our district. Is that true?
Yeah. So
give me your story. What's your story?
Okay. So, I mean, where I am in Dublin right now, this is my first year at a new gig. But for 5 years previous to this, I taught at Ripon High School. It's a small suburban / rural district. And my high school program was going pretty well, but I just started to realize, you know, I'm really not able to take these kids as far as they deserve to go because they don't have the basic music fundamentals and fundamentals of singing like they do in other districts. And it's because they learn how to choir in high school, right? And so that's tough to start that way. So I sort of figured out, you know, the districts, the high schools that are really successful have a district that starts choir earlier. Mm-hmm. And so I just started figuring that out. And this is kind of the format that I followed, and I'll expound on these as I go along. So first of all, you got to articulate the need for quality middle school choir programs. Then you have to do some reconnaissance. Then you have to decide on a format of what this middle school going into high school choir program is going to look like. Then you have to petition the powers that be. Then you have to get the word out, do a lot of marketing, register the students, and then figure out, okay, what do I want these guys to know by the time they come to me in high school, figuring out the curriculum. And then you got to go the extra mile to keep them hooked. So that's the outline of what I'm going to talk about. And I guess I'll just go into more detail from there.
Yeah,
so
here, let me jump in for one moment.
Yeah.
The thing, so I'm hearing this whole outline. This is really, really good. And the devil's advocate in me is going, are you doing somebody else's work? Like, it seems as though for you to be a successful high school choir director that needs to start a program in the middle school, like, you are almost having to do work that a middle school choir director should be doing, right? The hook, the making sure, you know, figuring out what they need to know, like all this stuff. Like, I feel like this endeavor calls upon, you know, you as the high school director to like do a whole lot more than you're normally contracted to do, right?
Exactly. Now, yes, it is a lot of work, but a couple things I want to say about that. It's totally worth it.
Okay.
Because now you have you're priming the 7th and 8th graders to come in to join your concert choir as freshmen, and they're already dialed in. So I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but the difference is huge. So number one, it's worth it. Number two, there may be somebody in your district who does do this. I mean, there are giant districts that have a music coordinator or a visual performing arts person. And if that's the case, definitely this is something they should be doing or helping you with. But in my experience, I was just kind of a one-man show. I was at the high school as a one-man department. We had a band teacher at the time who taught one period of band and then elementary music. So I just kind of had to make it work and make it happen. You know?
Okay, so let me ask you one more thing.
Yeah,
because I want to get some things before we get into the principles in more detail. But
sure.
What are the potential roadblocks that are going to be thrown in front of you when you begin this kind of thing? Like, what are the hurdles that you're going to have to overcome in order to even see this plan through?
Probably the biggest thing is just teaching your community what choir is and why it's important and what it looks like and why it's cool. You may find in your first year, you just pour your heart and soul into this and you get like 10 kids show up, you know, and that's tough, but that is a place to start, and word does get around, especially if you're taking the kids around and doing stuff and having them perform in public. So that's a roadblock. I think you'll encounter administrators at sites, especially sites that are not your own, who maybe just don't understand how this is supposed to work or are skeptical of giving up their instructional time or space. But I think really, if you get one administrator from one of these new schools, the middle school or an elementary school, K through 8, in your court, you're off to the races, because they're going to see the value of their K through 8 or middle school enhanced, and the other principals will be jealous, frankly. Gotcha. I mean, you know, you don't want to be the one school that doesn't have it once it's working.
So that's true. And I noticed that when I was a middle school teacher, I had started this handbell program, and we had the cool handbell program that played at all the like district events and stuff. And the other middle school, the only other middle school in the district, didn't have a handbell program. And people were like, why don't we have one of those? And it's because like the gal there didn't want to do it, you know, but
exactly.
But the principal was like, you need to learn how to do this. They can't be doing this stuff and we're not doing this. There's like a competition. It almost seems like
exactly.
You can pit the schools against each other.
Right. Exactly. And that just was probably going to be the case when you present this to all the admin for the first time. You'll have 1, 2, or 3 admin who are like, yes, this is amazing. Let's do this. This is great for our kids. And you might have a couple who are sit back and are like, harumph. I don't know if I, what is this? Right. Middle school choir. I don't know if I agree with this. And that's just okay. I mean, we'll try our best to convince, but once it gets rolling, they'll get it. And they'll see their own students' lives enhanced by this. So
great. Well, let's just rock and roll here. Let's get into it. And so, I mean, what is starting, making the decision to do this? What's the beginning of this look like?
Really the beginning is you having a conversation with your high school admin saying, hey, here's a thing I'm thinking about doing and or facilitating. You know, what do you think about this? How would this, you know, affect my schedule? And because if you eventually are going to be the person who is your own feeder and not just helping find somebody else, you're going to have to give up a period at your own high school to do that. So obviously your principal has to be on board to make that happen.
So, and I think, Adam, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Is this program the same, or these steps kind of the same if you want to enhance an existing middle school program? Like, there's one that doesn't exist, there's one that does exist, but could really use some help. I mean, would you go about it the same way?
I would.
Okay.
I would. In fact, in my new district right now, I know there's some middle school choir being done in some fashion, but it's not consistent, and people are open to kind of figuring that out. So I think I'm going to go through a lot of these same steps, you know? So, and really it comes down to, at any level, you got to articulate the need for a middle school choir. And it's kind of like this. If you want a high school that has a great program, you have to start earlier. And the way I'd explain it to non-music people is, could you imagine a district that has math or English only starting in high school? Your scores would be really bad and your kids would be very bad at it. So doesn't it make sense, if you want a high quality choir program at your high school, you need to start early? And if you present it like that, this is like any other subject.
Or the kids can't play baseball until they're in high school.
Exactly. And I like to use a lot of sports analogies too. I mean, you have kids out there in Pop Warner football in elementary school. And so you do that because you want them to have a certain skill set by the time they get to high school. And choir is the same way. And I found success kind of explaining that way. Also, around middle school is the time where kids and families kind of decide, this is going to be our thing. We're a football family. We're a soccer family. We're a band and orchestra. And kids do lots of different things, don't get me wrong, but in general, this is kind of a time where they see, hey, what's our kid going to do? And then they jump into that community, parents, etc. So that's another reason why starting earlier really helps, because then the kids and the families are used to the norms of performances and rehearsals and travel at that point. So once you kind of articulate that need, you got to do some reconnaissance. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. So just find out what's been done before. Has your district ever had middle school choir? If they did, what happened? Why did it die out? Mm-hmm. If not, why not? And just ask questions of your administrators. If you have a performing arts coordinator, talk to them, see what happened. Talk to other music teachers. I've also found that just talking to other parents, band parents, orchestra parents, they may have some institutional knowledge in your district about what has been done and not done. And you take it with a grain of salt, but in the end, you start talking to a lot of people and you figure out what's going on.
Sure, you're planting a seed. Like you're by asking these questions and doing that reconnaissance, that research, you're also indicating interest, you know, that you have interest in doing something. And you're also asking, it's like, was that an Einstein thing? I forget what it was. It was a Benjamin Franklin thing. If you ask somebody for advice, right, they're more likely mm-hmm. to like get on your side. Like if you want to be like best pals with somebody that has in a power situation, rather than telling them what you want, you ask them for advice about what you want,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be more likely, because you're like honoring their experience, they're more likely to like take you under their wing and like help you out. So,
right.
So if you're out there doing reconnaissance and you go to the middle school principal below you and say, hey, I heard you had a choir program. What happened? You know, mm-hmm. and I'd like to do something, but how would you go about doing it? They'd be more likely to like be on board with the whole idea, I would say.
I mean, that is definitely true. Or you could just kind of play dumb. Even if you know a little bit, just come up and say, hey, I have this cool idea. What do you think about that? And just see what they say.
Sure.
And kind of just take it at face value from there and see mm-hmm. where the conversation goes. But yeah, definitely getting as many stakeholders early on is really helpful. Okay. And then, like I mentioned before, you don't want to reinvent the wheel. And there may be somebody in your district who sets these kind of programs up already, and you want to include them. But it may turn out that person is swamped with other performing arts responsibilities, so it may land with you anyway. So once you do some reconnaissance, you find out the history, you find out what pitfalls you might avoid, or things that could be helpful in terms of resources, you need to decide on a format. So districts are configured all kinds of different ways. They may have K through fives and then middle schools and then a 9 through 12, or they may have a bunch of K through eights that feed into a high school. You may have a elementary, junior high, senior high format. So that configuration is going to affect your decision on how you structure these feeders. So that kind of factors all into it. And so there's three formats that I considered, and any one of these may work the best for your district. In a district where they have traditional junior highs or middle schools, it would be ideal to have a class, an elective during their school day that you or somebody else could teach, because then you're guaranteed that students will be there and there's no other logistics in the way. Another format, and this is the one that I had at my previous job in Ripon, where we had several K through eights feed into one high school. So there actually was no middle school physically.
Okay.
And what I had to do was have one of the K through eight principals agree to host the class. Then all the parents drop their students off before school, we had like a zero period middle school. And then when I was done, the kids would go to a district bus, and that bus would take them to all of their different sites for their school day. And then I would go back to my high school to finish out the rest of the day. So that was what worked in that situation.
That's like a major money commitment.
Kind of, but not really, because the way that that district worked was it's a small town and the buses are just making the loop like during beginning and after school. So it was easy for all these kids just to jump on one of the loops and they would just get dropped off. Oh, so okay. In that case, it wasn't too bad for them. But in your district, it is true that you may have to arrange a special route. Mm-hmm. So that is something to consider. Another option is that it may be impossible to do a magnet situation like I described. So you or someone else may have to travel to every school site that has 6th through 8th graders throughout the day and then come back to the high school. This is a little bit more difficult if you're the high school director because this takes up most of your day. So this would work better if you are going to a couple schools and somebody else has the middle school choir at some other sites and you're doing it as kind of a joint effort. So this is better than nothing, but I would say it's difficult if you're still teaching high school at the same time. Sure. If worse comes to worse, if you have a couple K-8s and you can only get in the door at one school, that's better than nothing. At least you're getting those kids coming to your high school ready to go. Then, of course, you have to petition the powers that be. You have to talk to your own principal of the high school, get them on board, talk to counselors, teachers at the other sites, if that is the case. What I did was I found out when all the principals and the superintendent were going to have a meeting, and in most districts, they have an admin meeting every month where all the principals and the superintendent get together. So I asked if I could be at that meeting to make my case. And so I was able to come in, make a special presentation, and say, these are the options. This is the reason why. These are three different ways we can do it. Which way would work best
for our district? You. That's good. I like
and
that.
And so, the situation I described earlier took place. We had three or four admin who were super on board, maybe one or two that were skeptical. But I was just with that, I had my foot in the door and I was able to start the thing. And then the next year, everyone was used to it and all the admin were on board. So that's what I did.
I think you missed your sales career calling. What happened? What happened there? Like the which one would work best? Like boom, that's like closing questions right there. That's good. That's good stuff.
I mean, to be honest with you, like I never envisioned myself to be any kind of sales person. Uh-huh. But the reality is, like, I just love choir so much, and I see what it can do. It's done for me. I see what it's done for kids. Mm-hmm. So this profession has kind of forced me to get out of my bubble and just put myself out there and say, no, this will happen and we can all make it happen together because it matters so freaking much.
I'm so glad that you bring that up. I mean, this is the case I've been trying to make for like ever, that if you want to be a successful director, you're going to have to be someone with entrepreneurial spirit. Like you have to be a founder. You have to be, you know, you have to be an innovator. You have to be a salesperson. You have to do all these things. You have to wear so many hats in order to be mm-hmm. a successful choir director. I mean, you can't just because you have the most entrepreneur role. Like a high school choir director is an entrepreneur. You have to be like mm-hmm. there's because you wear all these hats. You don't just like nobody. You don't have a board that does all your crap for you, and you just show up and put your folder down on the music stand, wave your arms and walk away until next week. I mean, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You got to be in it. So
exactly. Yeah. And you get to build relationships more this way too. You know, I think it would be kind of weird to just drop your folder down and be like, okay, let's go. That works for university. That works for symphony choruses, but, I like building those relationships. So
sure,
it's all good. So, okay, let's assume you either had a meeting with all the admin or the visual performing arts person went to bat for you and got the green light on one of these options. So then you got to get the word out, right? One way or another. So word of mouth is always the best thing. Talk to your high schoolers. Talk to your high school choir parents. Talk to any parents involved with music at your high school. Let them know this is a thing that's happening. Get your younger siblings, your cousins, your neighbors, everybody needs to come to middle school choir. It's going to be super fun.
So low-hanging fruit. Start with the low-hanging fruit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the high schoolers will love it. Oh, my little neighbor kid or cousin in choir, that'll be awesome. And so they start talking about it. Flyers are old school, but they're always good. Come up with a flyer that explains exactly when and where and who's welcome to this middle school choir class, and get those out in the community. Drop them in every elementary school and middle school inbox. A lot of K through 8s and elementaries and middle schools have site websites or other apps where they advertise things that are happening and fundraisers that are happening around their school. And that's a great place to drop that info. Like school newsletters is another place, but that's been replaced by apps now, by and large, that a lot of the parents have. Back to school night presentations. Speaking of being a salesman, I went to every single back to school night for all the K through 8s in my district. I was tired at the end of that month.
Wow.
But again, that was the only way where I was going to have all the parents that care about anything all in one place for all these kids. And so I made my case there. This is the need for a middle school choir. This is who's doing it. This is what we're going to do. This is who I am. And this is what your kids are going to be able to do when they get to high school. And so that was a thing.
Did you bring kids to sing at those presentations, or did you just go yourself?
I didn't at that one. I attended. Once I had this thing rolling, I brought high schoolers and middle schoolers to sing for the younger kids later that year.
Okay.
But I mean, like, it was literally like, I'm approved in April. I got to promote this all through May, because then we're out and then we start in August. So I just kind of had to, or wait, no, my timeline's messed up. Okay. The point is, no, at that point I was just trying to get things moving. So I showed up myself and made the pitch. But yeah, if you got kids to sing, do it.
You in education, any new initiative, you have to, like, the lead time you need is like crazy. So if you want to do something next year, you gotta be thinking about it this year. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So another thing that really helps is the Remind app. I know a lot of teachers use that. It's an app that your students and parents can join, and you just put out whatever information you want to push to people, and they get it. It's a one-way service. The students can't talk back to you unless you set it up so that they can. So that's kind of nice. And it's not that, like, everyone has to have your number. It just comes from the app. And it's a great messaging service that you can use for free. Now, here's where I combined two of these things, and I felt like a rock star about it. So once I had the flyer and the online newsletter thing rolling, I put my Remind address on that. Because when you set up a Remind, you have at whatever your class is called or your name. So once that was up, I saw my app just blowing up because parents from around the town just started, like, adding it because they were seeing the flyer. So instead of, like, leaving my number, or I mean, I left my number in my email, but they just started adding the Remind. So when August rolled around, I said, middle school choir starting on this day, don't forget, here's the time, here's the place. And they had the info. And I didn't even know who these people were yet, but they had it.
Okay, so what was the result? I need to know, what was the result of all of this?
Okay, so I did all this, and the first year I had, I think it was 10 kids show up, which I was not super excited about, but because I wanted the room to be just swamped with 100 kids, right?
Sure.
But it ended up being really cool because I really got to connect with these kids and teach them fundamentals and not only reading music, but fundamentals of singing. Mm-hmm. And they really got to bond. So then the next year, I had 20 kids show up. So they turned around, and when they had so much fun in that class and got to bond so tightly, they went around and told all their friends in their homerooms. And so then they started joining the next year. The one other thing that with the in the spreading the word part of it, I want to talk about. You can also visit fifth and sixth grade classrooms at the other schools the previous spring, and that's another good way for you to have that face to face contact in students' homerooms, and they can kind of meet you and see what you're about, and you can hand out flyers there as well. So that's another thing that I did that I thought I had a good response to. So, yeah, so 10 students the first year and then 20 the next year. And every time we took them out, people were like, whoa, these kids are so young and they're singing. Again, this is a district that really hadn't had that. You know, there may be a higher bar performance-wise in a district where they're used to that.
Sure.
But by the time those guys got to high school in the following years, they were dialed in and ready for high school choir. Where I was accustomed to spending the fall teaching music fundamentals or just getting the kids to behave, basically, and choir and just learning how to act like a chorister, I didn't have to worry about that. Having four middle school choir alumni in a class of 25 or 30 beginning high schoolers really makes a difference, because you have those seeds now of excellence planted. Mm-hmm. And so the kids who are unsure about your concert choir to start with, now it's harder for them to laugh it off or blow it off, because they turn around and see, whoa, these guys my age know what they're doing and this sounds pretty cool. Okay, this is a high standard. This is something I want to be a part of.
Sure, sure.
So those seeds are being planted, just having it running only a year, really. Registering students is another step, and it all depends on how your district has it set up. If it's a class during the day, you'll probably have counselors and secretaries that do that for you. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a magnet thing like I did, you'll have to actually take the critical information from every family, send it to the school, and then the school will kind of register them through a backwards way, really.
Right. Okay.
But I mean, that's as long as you're organized, that's all easy to figure out. And then the important part is the curriculum. What do you want these guys to know? I decided reading basic rhythms, reading pitches, diatonic intervals, sight reading. So Sight Reading Factory really came in clutch for this program. They just loved it. I would put it on the projector and the kids would sit crisscross applesauce on the floor. Mm-hmm. And we'd be just like, they'd be headbanging along with the click track. And
is that what they call it these days? Crisscross applesauce?
Yeah,
that's right. I guess it's 2017. Okay, all right. Just double checking my history here. Okay.
Yeah, there's other ways to say it. I figured that was a PC thing to say in a podcast.
No, that's so. You know what? You're probably right. You know.
Yeah.
Those pretzels aren't very PC either. So that's what I'm saying.
Really?
Pretzel style.
All right. I'm totally.
Well, it's discriminatory against Germans. It's against Germans. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. 100%.
Okay. All right. I'm hearing a new one. Okay.
You're like, is he serious? Yeah. Like the Amish. If you go, yeah, it's totally against the Amish. Anyway, no, go right ahead.
Okay. So anyway, I can go through all of my curriculum priorities, but that's kind of up to you. You get together with the other music teachers in your district, kind of figure out, hey, what do we want these guys to know by the time they're freshmen? And come up with that themselves. I think just teaching them to demonstrate integrity, integrity in rehearsal, integrity on stage, singing in different languages, learning about different cultures, I think that's important. Mm-hmm. But that's more up to you and your district, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's great that the point of the matter here that I was hearing earlier is that when you have just a few kids in your class that get it, that actually makes a gigantic difference. Like when you,
it does.
I notice a difference when you have like, you know, when your one star diva soprano quits because she has a terrible attitude and I can't handle her anymore. It does make a difference. You know, I'd rather be without that star diva person. This has never happened to me, by the way. But you know,
asking for a friend.
Yeah, you know, when the egotistical soprano, you know, leaves the choir, but she was actually really good and like all state this and that. It does kind of make a difference, you know?
Right.
All of a sudden is a section that loses confidence, right? But if you have those like four people like SATB that are like killing it, like they can lead a whole section to success, which stinks to have all that weight on one person. But but it almost is like training wheels for your section.
It is. And I mean, you're always going to have those kids who, for whatever reason, just resist the choir lifestyle, for lack of a better term, what choir is about, and resist your teaching. But I think for the majority of kids who are kind of in the middle, they just got put in this class and they're like, I don't know if I like this, but we'll see how it goes.
Sure.
Your middle school alumni are going to really flip those into your camp.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference. So once this is all running, I would say just get them out in the community performing as much as you can, as much as they are able. Mm-hmm. Another big thing that was helpful is I had them perform with our high school ensembles.
Great.
So the middle school parents got to see what was ahead, what was in store for them and what they were working for, towards. The high schoolers got to look at the middle schoolers and just love on them and clap and yell and appreciate them. And so that was also a big help. I know some districts, they do middle school its own concert. High school, they do their own concert. Sure. I find that with choir, you should keep them all together. Yeah. Unless it's just so gigantic, you know, where you can't.
Well, you get the benefits of all this energy, you know, and you have, you have these high school kids cheering for the middle school kids cheering for the high school kids. You have additional audience members that show up. I mean, it's almost like, you know, if you're going to visit a church that you might want to, you know, be at for the rest of your life and you're just church shopping that day with your spouse or whatever, and you go into a church and it's like half full, you know, and the energy is kind of right? You walk away and you go, I don't know if I want to go there again. And you go to the next one next Sunday and it's like packed and the people and the energy is great. You're like, you know what? I think I'll go back the next week, you know? And I think that that happens with choir concerts too. It's like, I want to be a part of something that's already winning. Like, how can you project something that is already a winner? You know,
right.
I'm not, you know, I'm not being in choir because I want to support, you know, the choir charity, you know, like your job or whatever. I'm going to be in choir because I want to be amongst other people that are winning at life. So how can you project winning at life? And sometimes that means getting the most amount of people involved, you know.
Exactly.
I think that's brilliant. So takeaways here, because I want to put a bow on this episode.
Sure.
Takeaways, I'm seeing, like, you got to be a planner. You got to play the long game. You got to do the boots on the ground, hard work. It's going to suck for a little while, but it'll be worth it. Like, I think that's kind of main takeaways. But this is like life takeaways too. Like, this is how every successful person does everything, you know, like work, you know, you work hard now, right? So that you can live the better life, like, later, you know, like, you know, you work like no others will, so that you can live like no others can, you know, like, you
exactly.
And whether that sometimes comes from like a monetary perspective, but it also is, well, if you want to have an enviable choral program, you have to put in the work that other people won't do.
Right.
You know?
Right. You just have to be clear also about articulating your values and why we're doing the things that we're doing. And once that is clear and you're true to yourself and you just don't be afraid to go up to people and have a conversation, you'll make it happen.
Yep.
You know? And then just as a disclaimer, like, I don't think I'm some kind of genius that just invented all this stuff. I've read a lot of books, I have mentors, and so I don't think I'm the final authority on this. I don't think I totally invented this, but just from what I've learned from others and just trying to forge my own path in that district, this is what worked.
Great.
And so, yeah.
So we will look for a forthcoming blog post at choir.ninja, and we'll promote it for you, help you out with that. I make sure a lot of people get to read it and they can get in the details here with this process, because I know some people are like, give me a formula, and I know you have a formula, but we don't have time to share the whole thing, but we'll get in there. You're in the Choir Nation Facebook group, so if anybody wants to tag you in a post and ask you more questions about this, that's a way to get in touch with you. Do you have your own little blog or anything going on your end?
I don't. I think I'll probably revive a WordPress account that I had and there post this blog post that I'm gonna brush up here.
Great.
But I'm on all the general social media. So Adam Serpa on Facebook or Twitter. Just add me, follow me.
Okay.
I'm a real person. Talk to me. It's all good.
Awesome. Yeah. No. Honestly, I think the number of people who actually take advantage of the resources that we provide on, like, an access to people that we provide with the Choir Ninja platform is so small. It's so, I mean, like, you have, when I say tag somebody on a Facebook post, like, yes, they're actual people. Yes, they will get back to you. And yes, they're happy to help you. Like, nobody does that. Nobody takes advantage of that. And I'm going to challenge them. You know, you're going to be like inundated now with stuff, but like, like, reach out to Adam and be like, this is great what you're doing. And I'm looking forward to your posts. Like, give him a little woo, give him a little good woo woo love, you know, or whatever. And, and, but like, nobody does that. And I hope they do for you because this is really good stuff. This is really good stuff. The show notes for this episode are going to be at choir.ninja/151. So that's episode 151. And there you will find a little breakdown of the things we talked about, some relevant links, and your picture and your bio and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be there. Choir Ninja, Choir Nation, you can check that out. And support the sponsors. Any last words of parting words of wisdom from you, Adam?
I don't think I'm old enough to be wise. Okay. I would just say, keep loving the kids, be real, and just be there for them. Build those relationships and build good music.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining me today on the Choir Ninja podcast.
Thanks, Ryan. I'd love to be here.
Choir Ninja Show. Wa-bung-bung.